would first like to express my appreciation to each and every one of you for being in this audience tonight and for coming to hear the gospel preached, because it is my intent, should I not die in the next few minutes, to be able to preach the gospel to all of you. I'm certainly appreciative of Brother George and for his prayer and my inclusiveness in his prayer, and I encourage all of you to pray for me as I move through this life to continue to be able to preach the gospel, because I surely love to be able to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. I appreciate so much Doug and his wife and his children, and I appreciate the good songs that you selected, and I really and truly understand the glorifying of God in our songs. Tonight I want to preach to you and to talk to you and to teach you probably one of my very favorite of all of my lessons. This particular lesson gained a compliment from Brother James Watkins. His sister Annie had a copy of this lesson. I had preached it one other time. And he said, "Son, that lesson deserves to be preached." I appreciate that because I hold him in the highest esteem as one of our brothers in Christ. The significance of the cross is the title of the lesson. The significance of the cross. There's a lot of scripture involved in this lesson, so stay with me tonight, and I'll move through this lesson as quickly as I can, but I do want to make my points as clearly as possible. This is a very emotional type lesson. It's one that certainly should touch your heart and give you something to think about when it comes to the significance of the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I promised earlier as I began this meeting that I would focus all week long on that of Jesus, and every lesson that I would preach would be a particular focus on that of Jesus and his life. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the significance of the cross. Not too long ago, in conversation with a denominational man who preaches at a congregation with about 500 plus people, he said to me, he said, "Son, you know, there is a problem with you people down there at the Church of Christ." He said, "You people are so big on symbolism." He said, "You know, I think about you people as you observe the Lord's table and as you call upon that each and every Lord's day, and that you try to extend that and to push that in such a way that you would have all of us to do that." He said, "That's nothing more than that of symbolism." I referred to the fact that the early disciples came together in Acts chapter 20 and at verse 7 on the first day of the week, and so it was that they came together to commemorate the death and suffering of our Lord and Savior as they partook of those things that he was referring to as symbolism. Of course, we recognize that as the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize it as the blood that was shed upon the cross as Jesus died there for you and for me. But I want to talk tonight about something that I believe heartily in that of symbolism. Somebody said, "That's an ugly word in the Lord's church." No, it's not. Because I want to begin tonight to talk to you about the effect of the cross. And I want to see if whether or not the cross has an effect upon you in the way that it should. I don't know how it is that you react whenever it is that you look at a symbol of the cross. A lot of people wear those little things around their neck. Some people, I don't know if you remember, if you're traveling up the interstate going toward Tennessee, you may see a huge, huge cross that's out there on the top of the hill somewhere. And then you may be in a cemetery somewhere and you may see a little cross somewhere that someone's placed at the grave. It might be that you pick up a book and on the front of that book there may be the symbol of the cross. There may be something of significance in that you would go into a building somewhere. We don't see that very much anymore. A building somewhere in that you would look up and you would see something of the symbol of the cross. I wonder about the effect that that symbol should have on all of us. And the Bible said, how do we view it? "For Christ sent me not to baptize," he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." He said, "not with the wisdom of words." Now listen closely. "Not with the wisdom of words." And then he said something like this: "Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." I want to share with you tonight that the symbol of the cross ought to have an effect upon you. Matters not where you see it. Matters not whose neck that you see it hanging around. Matters not what keychain you may very well see a little symbol of the cross hanging on. I think any symbol of the cross ought to have an effect upon all of you. I think whenever it is that we look upon the cross, we ought to view it from the standpoint that our Lord hung and died upon an old rugged cross. Consider, if you will, the pain and the suffering of the cross. We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. But as he said, but to preach the gospel not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I would hope and pray that in the preaching of the gospel, I would always be able to preach it in such a way that the symbol of the cross would have an effect on each and every person. I remember very well as a young man, as my grandpa was preaching about the cross of Christ, I would look in amazement as tears would fall out of his eyes and they would fall down on the old book. And it would be that each and every time that he would preach about the cross, those tears would well up in his eyes and they would begin to flow freely and fall down upon the old book. The effect of the cross ought to have an effect upon us unlike anything in this whole world. For you see, Jesus loved us enough that he would go to that cross and that he would die upon that cross willingly that we might have the opportunity to have the forgiveness of our sins and go to heaven when this life is over. The effect of the cross ought to be awesome. And I don't know of a better word than awesome. The effect of the cross ought to be in such a way that we would think about it each and every day of our lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day when we bowed our heads to pray to God, oh, you do pray every day, don't you? I hope you do, and I hope you pray that more than one time. But just in case, each and every time we bow our heads, the effect of the cross, it ought to be there in our hearts, and it ought to be there in our minds as we pray to our Father in heaven. Consider, if you will, that the Bible is going to teach us in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. For a long, long time, I did not understand that. He said, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Have you noticed that a lot of people don't care anything at all about the cross? They don't care anything at all about Jesus. They don't care anything at all about the church. They don't care anything at all about the Word of God. For you see, there's a number of people right now running this country that'll tell you first and foremost, it's just some book written by a bunch of men. And there's no significance to it, let alone the effect of the cross. And so the preaching of the cross to those people who are perishing is nothing more than that of foolishness. They think you're a crackpot. They think that you've lost your ever-loving mind if the cross has some significance in your life. But I'm here to tell you, I hope every single one of you that the cross has a tremendous significance in your life. That you think about it. That you meditate upon it. That you use it in symbol of what Jesus did when he died on it. Now, consider. He said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved. Now, listen to this. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So, how does the cross affect me? It affects me in such a way that whenever I see that symbol of the cross, there it is. The power of God. It wasn't too long ago that the congregation there at Lebanon, where I preach at, the church building was actually falling in. Grandpa had passed away. There was not many of us, about 29. And one of the fellows said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to build a building. Oh, we can't, Gary. He said, we just can't. We don't have any money. I said, we'll go borrow it. Well, you know what Grandpa said? You're not supposed to borrow money, but we got to. And so we go down and we talk to the people about borrowing the money to build the church. And there's just a couple of us willing to sign. And so we do. We began to build that building. It's not too long until we figured out we didn't really have enough money to do it. But you see, people begin to hear. They're building a church down there where Zeke Murphy used to be, where he preached the gospel for 60-some-odd years. The money came in, and in 2 weeks we had enough money to pay for the building and put $25,000 in the bank in honor of Brother Murphy. People came from all over the country. From Savannah they came, from Kentucky they came, from Tennessee they came. But my story is about the cross. For you see, there was an old man I shall never forget him. He drove up one day and he said, "Young man," said, "I want to share something with you." He said, "I don't know if you guys will accept this or not." He said, "But Brother Murphy was very important to me." He said, "You see, I made this wooden cross. And I'd like to give it to you fellows. And I know that the Church of Christ is not too big on symbolism from the standpoint of putting these things out there where people can see them. But if you would," he said, "would you take this little wooden cross and just place it somewhere in the building and let it be from my heart to y'all's and let it be in honor of Brother Murphy?" And I looked at this wooden cross. Still touches my heart today. He had put so much work into it. He said, "You know, I worked on that cross," and he said, "each and every time I worked on it," he said, "I thought about Jesus." He said, "I thought about what Jesus must have felt like when they began to drive the nails through his hands and through his feet." He said, "I thought about Jesus as he hung there on that cross," and he said, "must have been terrible, son, whenever they placed that crown of thorns upon his head and they began to spit upon him and mock him." He said, "You know, you don't have to put it anywhere where it can be seen, but," said, "I want to give it to you." Well, I took that little cross, and right over the baptistry in the back, it's there. And I asked the church for a favor. I said, "As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm able to breathe, as long as I'm able to preach the gospel, and even when I'm not, would you allow that little symbol of the cross to hang over the baptistry?" And everybody agreed, said, "Yes, we would." I said, "And each and every time that the baptistry is open and you see that symbol of the cross, will you think about Jesus? Will you think about the nails that were driven through his hands and his feet? Will you think about his suffering and his pain? Would you think about his love that he had for all of you and me as he died on that cross?" You see, what effect does the cross have upon you? "Unto us who are saved," he said, "it is the power of God. There's nothing in this world to me that's more," well, let's just put it this way, "more symbolic than that of the cross." You see, it represents the power of God. For a soldier to go into battle with a little symbol of the cross that's hanging around his neck, what's the problem with that if he thinks about his Lord as he goes into battle? What's the problem with that if he reaches and he holds that little symbol of the cross in his hand and he begins to think about Jesus as he died there on that cross and the remission of our sins? You see, I believe in the effect of the cross, but I want to share with you the symbol of the cross. In Matthew chapter 10 and at verse 38, first of all, I want to share with you the symbol of sacrifice. Whenever it is that we look upon the cross, the sacrifice that was made, it was a willful sacrifice. We all well know that Jesus could have very easily called all of those legions of angels, could have rescued him. Nobody could have put the Lord to death had he not wanted to be put to death. But you see, he wanted to obey his Father. The obedience to God was of such nature that Jesus would not disobey his Father. But God's love for man, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, God's love for mankind was so great, nothing could prevent Jesus from going to the cross. You see, whenever you think about the sacrifice of the cross, no greater love could have been had than that of what God had when he put Jesus on the cross. No greater love. You see, the sacrifice of the cross should symbolize to us the love that's far beyond the measure of any love we would ever have in our hearts and in our minds. Consider, if you will, the symbol of the sacrifice that was made. For the Bible said we all have a cross. Did you know that we do? And someone reaches and said, "Well, where is mine?" I want you to listen to what the Bible said. In John 19, in verse 17, "And he bearing his cross went forth." Consider, if you will, what it must have been like for Jesus to carry his own cross, to begin to make that move up the hill of Golgotha to Calvary, to be sacrificed, to be crucified. He carried his cross. someone says, I just can't imagine. You see, they had beaten the Lord. He had to have been weakened. His body was in such condition that he began to carry the cross. Can you imagine, can you just imagine for a moment the importance of Jesus as he bore his cross and as he began to make that move up that hill? He began to stumble and fall. It became heavy and burdensome. But the Lord no less would make that journey to the top of that hill. The bearing of the cross. And the Bible said in Matthew 27 and at verse 32 and at 42, verse 42 in particular, Jesus was hanging there on the cross. The Bible said he saved others. Himself, well, he cannot save, they say. If he be the king of Israel, if he really is, then let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. I want you to understand, the word cross is found in the New Testament 28 times. The book of Matthew, it's 5 times there. The book of Mark, it's 5 times. The book of Luke, it's only 3 times. The book of John, it's 4 times. 1 Corinthians has it 2 times. Galatians has it 3 times. Ephesians only has it 1. Philippians has it twice. There it is in Colossians 2 times. And in the book of Hebrews 1. Not one single time is it found in the Old Testament. But you see, it's found on the back of our Lord. The cross, as he carried the cross to the top of the hill. As he hang upon that cross and as the people would look upon him. If he really is the king, as he says he is, then let him come down from the cross. And there he hang upon that cross. Consider, if you will, what it must have been like. I remember very well, as Grandpa would bring it to our attention, he said, the weight of the man as he hung on the cross wasn't just his physical weight. He said it was the weight of the whole world on the Lord. It was the weight of the whole world on Jesus. It was every single pound that you could ever imagine on Jesus as he hung on the cross. I don't know how big his physical stature was. I don't know how much the Lord Jesus might have weighed in reality of his weight. But you see, it really didn't matter. For you see, what was hanging on that cross was the weight of all of mankind. What was hanging on that cross was the weight on his shoulders. It was your sins and my sins. It was the sins of the entire world. And they were all hanging right there on the shoulders of Jesus as he hung on that cross. Can you think of the significance of the cross? I've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. The significance of the cross. In Matthew chapter 10, there again in verse 38, we have an exclusive cross. Each and every one of us have an exclusive cross. What is that exclusive cross? And the Bible said, and he that taketh not his cross. Did you hear that? And he that taketh not his cross. Each and every one of you have a cross. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. How am I going to take the cross and follow after Jesus? I'm going to have some of the commitment, some of the sincerity and some of the love and some of the compassion that Jesus must have had when he went to the cross. I'm going to love my brethren. I'm going to do those things that the Lord Jesus requires of me. I'm going to be an obedient child of God. And I'm going to take up my cross, the personal sacrifices of serving the Lord. And I'm going to bear that cross and follow after Jesus so that I can become worthy to go to heaven. What are some of the things that are significant of the cross? What really and truly is some of the things that we may very well have to carry on the weight of our shoulders when we take up our cross. Have you ever had to make a personal sacrifice? Have you ever had to take some time out of your busy schedule to see the needs of someone else? Have you ever had to go out of your way to make a phone call or to sign a card or to talk to someone that really and truly needed talking to? Have you ever had to make a personal sacrifice from the standpoint of taking some of the money that you worked so hard for and share it with someone else who was in need? Have you had to share some of the food that the Lord blesses you with? Have you had to share some of the clothes that truly the Lord blesses us with? Have you had to share in the transportation that the Lord blesses you with to help someone else get somewhere? Consider how it is that we take up our cross as we meet and as we make our personal sacrifices to serve in the kingdom. It matters not if we're willing to take up our cross and follow after Jesus. There is some significance to the cross because we all have one. We may not have the symbol in our pocket or around our neck or in our hand. Oh, but we have the cross in our heart and in our mind. We have the weight of the cross as we commit ourselves to the Christian living that the Lord expects of us. You see, the significance of the cross is far bigger than you may have ever realized. And so the Bible would teach us, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." But then he said in Luke 14 and at verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Cannot be my disciple. You think about the symbol of the cross. We want to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus. We want to be His student. We want to be His child. We want to be someone that's committed to going to heaven. The only way I know that we're ever going to be able to do that is to involve the cross in our lives. The personal cross of sacrifice. It has to be in our lives. Are there a great many things we can do to make assurances that we are bearing the cross? There are a lot of people that wouldn't give the time of day to someone that's out there and really and truly in need. But the Bible's very plain that he that seeth his brother in need and then shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how then, he said, dwelleth the love of God in his heart. And so how it is that we see others, the symbol of the cross does make a difference. The significance of the cross makes all the difference in the world in personal sacrifice. Oh, but I want to share with you something that means a lot to me. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible said some become enemies of the cross of Christ. How is it that we could ever become the enemy of the cross of Christ? As we've looked at some of the significance of the cross, how could we ever become an enemy to the cross of Christ? The Bible said, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, he said, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, because they disregard the Lord. You tell me how many people that you right now could name that have a total disregard for Christ. I could share with you every single name of the Congress of the United States of America. I could share with you an ignorant president that's serving in the White House right now who has a total disregard for Christ. I could share with you a host of people that's pushing the issue right now for same-sex marriages and things of that nature. That's an abomination in the sight of God. And I could share those things with you and show you the enemies of the cross. I could show you 65% of America is the enemies of the cross. They have no regard for God. No regard for Christ. The congregations around this country who are hurting, they're struggling in numbers, they're struggling in lots of ways just to stay afloat because of the enemies of the cross. You see, they're building and they're building and they're building, and the strength of them, it becomes greater and greater and greater. And you see the ignorance of all of America as they vote and as they think of the ungodly nature of the things that's out there. The enemies of the cross. What is the significance of this? I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. I want to be a friend of the cross. I want to be a man that understands that the Lord, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That He's in charge and He'll remain in charge. And as long as the Lord Jesus is alive and well, and I know He is, He's on the right hand of the living God, even as we speak, as long as He's alive and well, and we're a friend of the cross, there's a chance. There's a chance. We must never give up. We must never give in. We must be resolved to the fact that the Lord is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All power lies within His hands. Is there anything too hard for God, the Bible said? No. Can these people be despised and disposed of? Yes. Can we think of the nature of the cross and the significance of it? Let us not be the enemy, but let us be the friend of the cross. Consider, if you will, there is something of magnitude when it comes to the glory of the cross. In Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 14, the glory of the cross. But God forbid, the Bible said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Listen to that. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Did you get that? We need to be set apart from the world. We need not be like the world. We need to be set apart from the world. Now, what does that for us? Did you see that? The glory of the cross. Amen. The glory of the cross sets us apart from the world. It distinguishes us and sets us aside, and we're separate and we're different from the world. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There is no middle ground. It is of significance that we glory in the cross. That we glory so much in the cross that no one would ever question where we stand. Matters not what someone might say to us. Matters not what someone might do to us. Let it be that we glory in the cross. The cross that Jesus died on. You see, whenever you think about the glory of the cross, by whom the world, He said, is crucified. And unto me, He said, I unto the world. And so the whole world is crucified by the cross whenever you think of the difference between the world and those that are living a Christian life. Those that are living by the world and of the worldly things that are here. And those who have their priorities all mixed up. And those who have their heads on wrong. And those who have their hearts hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There is no way in the world that they're not crucified by that cross. For you see, they're in jeopardy of losing their souls. You see, as Jesus died upon that cross, there's some significance to those who would want to be saved. But I'll tell you something else. There's a great amount of significance to those who don't want to be saved because of the cross. Because they're crucified by it. They're going to be lost. They're going to be cast out. We're taught in the Bible that those that stand before the Lord, those that kneel before the Lord, those on His right hand and those on His left, and those He will say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. They're the ones crucified by the cross. For they're of the world and not of the Lord Jesus. And not of the glory of the cross. Now consider, if you will, that Colossians chapter 1 covers an area that most of us, we cringe when we think of it. The blood of the cross. What about the blood of the cross? And having made peace, the Bible said, through the blood of His cross, by him to reconcile all things. Listen to this. All things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in the heaven, they're all reconciled to the Lord by the blood that was shed upon the cross. What significance is there to the blood? There can be no remission. There can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. For you see, the significance of a cross is of such nature that when Jesus died and shed his blood, there we have the significance of the blood of the cross as it gave us the forgiveness of our sins, and it showed us the difference between it. It's very important for us to see this. The significance of the cross must have within it the blood. The blood of the cross. Had Jesus not died and shed his blood, there would be no remission. There would be no forgiveness. For the blood of the bulls and the goats, they had nothing in the world except atonement for the sin. Could only roll it forward, as we learned of that yesterday. But you see, the blood of Jesus, as it was shed upon the cross, the significance of that blood is that now we have the forgiveness of our sins. Now we have the forgiveness. And so the significance is truly in the blood. But I want to share with you two more final points tonight. I think about the joy of the cross. Something that ought to make you smile. You know, when you see the old cross, it not only ought to bring something to your heart in such a way that you think of Jesus as he hung and died, but it ought to bring some joy to you. Because in Hebrews 12 and at verse 2, the only time mentioned in the Hebrew letter, looking unto Jesus, he said, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Did you see the joy of the cross? You see, Jesus was happy to die on that cross for you. He was happy to die for you. Why was he happy to die for you? Somebody said, no, preacher, you've got me all messed up. And as Emerson said, you got my head spinning. Understand now, I know Jesus prayed, if it be possible, Lord, Father, let this cup pass from me. I know the dread. I know the significance of those verses. But I'll tell you something else. Jesus was happy to do it. For he knew in his dying upon that cross, he was offering you and me something that no one else could ever give us. He knew that in his dying upon that cross, he was putting something there of significance that would allow us to have the forgiveness of our sins. He was putting himself between us and God. He was going to be the only mediator between us and God. He was going to be there willfully. And he was happy to do so. For you see, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning of it, the finisher of it, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured this cross, despising the shame, and sat down, the Bible said, at the right hand of the throne of God. I know that a lot of you say, well, you know, I know he's a little bit out there on the cross. And I may very well be. But I'll tell you what, every time I see it, every time I look at it, every time I think about it, there's a little bookmarker that Aunt Ethel made my wife. Ethel was Emerson's grandmother. She's 100 years old. Made a little cross. She crocheted this little cross. It goes in the Bible. It's a bookmarker. And every time I see that bookmarker, and every time my wife opens her book, and I'll tell you something about my wife. She opens her book every day. I don't have to tell anybody that knows my wife. She opens her book every day. If she don't read but two verses, she opens her book every day. And that little symbol of the cross, it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. For you see, that cross is everything that we're about. For without that cross, we could be nothing. Without that cross, we couldn't even go to heaven. Without that cross, it wouldn't even be worth living in this life. You see, the cross is so important. And the significance of it is of such nature that I just can't preach. I'm not that good of a preacher anyway, but I couldn't preach it in such a way that you could get it the way you need to have it. In John 19, at verse 25, those supporting the cross, those that were there and watching the Lord Jesus as He died upon that cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. You know, I love my mother. Our family, as many of you know, my brother was killed this past year in January. My mother suffered greatly with that, and I have, and some of the others. Our family is real small now, and I still got my mother. She's important to me. If I were to die on the cross and she was able, you know where she'd be? At the foot of that cross watching me die. You see, a real mother is going to be supporting of the cross. But I want to share with you that a real mother is going to be supporting of the cross in that she's going to take her little children to church. She's going to teach them about the Lord. And a real grandmother and a real grandfather. I look back there and I see Rita with all their little grandkids, and I see others with their little grandkids. A real grandmother, a real grandfather, they're going to take their little grandchildren to church. They're going to teach them about the cross. You see, it's going to matter because they're going to be supportive of the cross. There was Jesus' mother as she supported the cross. There stood by the cross of Jesus' mother. Not only his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, she was there. They were in support of the cross. And they were watching Jesus as He died. I've often thought about Mary as she stood and as she watched her son die upon that cross. Could I do it? I don't think so. I'd be there, but I couldn't be watching. I'd have to turn away. I'd have to be like Grandpa taught us when we were little kids. He said, kids, there was darkness upon the face of the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. It may have very well been, he said. I can't prove this, he said. My God Himself, He turned out the lights on something like that. He just blotted out the sun. Because it was such a heinous thing. Such a horrifying thing. It's His only begotten Son. He just turned out the lights on it. I've always took stock in that. I've always believed that if I could turn out the lights and I had to do something of that nature and watch my son die on that cross, don't you think for one minute I'd turn the lights out, Darrell? I'd do it. But you see, this cross, it changed a great deal of things. And I want to close out with these things tonight. Colossians 2:14. Things that were changed by the cross. I want you to listen what it was that the cross and the significance of the changes that was made. We need to take care to understand the significance of these changes. What were some of the changes that took place because of the cross? The Bible said in Colossians 2:14, blotting out, He said, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and He nailed it to the cross. And some of the changes that He took out of the way and nailed to the cross were these things. They're significant. The method of sacrifice was changed that day because of the cross. No longer would there be the necessity to have the bulls and the goats and all the animals sacrificed. It wouldn't have to be anymore because of the cross. For you see, the shedding of the blood of Jesus took that out of the way. Something else that was changed that day was forgiveness. There would never ever be another time that there would need to be any atonement made for sin. For you see, Jesus did it one time, and He did it for all of us. And that cross that day, the significance of it was forgiveness. Then and there, one time for all. Then there was something else that cross did. It established the method of worship. Somebody said, now wait a minute. I'm not a smart man at all about a lot of things. I know a little bit about the Bible, though, and I want to tell you something. Whenever you think about the method of worship, the cross was significant because it changed the method of worship. You see, those poor people under the old law, they were keeping the Sabbath day. That was their instructions in the beginning. But the method of worship, the cross changed all that. No longer would it be the Sabbath day to take and to keep holy, but it would be the first day of the week. It would be the Lord's day. And that would be the day of worship. And the method of worship, how is it that they were going to worship? They were going to assemble themselves. They were going to worship in spirit and in truth. They were commemorating the death and suffering of our Lord and Jesus as He instituted His supper. You see, the method of worship that day, the significance of the cross, it changed all the way. There was something else that came to be that day. It was the inclusion of you and me. What about the cross? Had it not been for the cross, you and I would be left out. Wouldn't be there. Wouldn't have a chance. But you see, the cross put me and you right there in the thick of things. It was to all men that salvation would be offered. And the method of the cross and the significance of it brought about you and I, because now we're there. All men, everywhere. The cross. There was something else that day. The cross brought about the building of the Church of Christ. Did you know that? There are a lot of people that don't understand that. They say, well, you know, you poor folks, you're the only ones that think that you're the only ones going to heaven. You don't understand that. Yes, sir, we do. You see, the significance of the cross brought about the building of the Lord's church. He said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And who was it that was declaring that? It was Jesus. And upon that good confession, thou art Peter. But you see the significance of the cross. People have forgotten. As Jesus died upon that cross, He brought about the building of His church. The establishing of the kingdom. It would last forever and ever and ever. Well, I'm going to close, because the significance of the cross goes on and on and on. But just in case I may have touched your heart in such a way, if nothing else, when you leave this building, the next time you view the symbol of the cross, I want you to think about at least one or two things that I told you about tonight. When I walk in the cemetery and I see a little cross, I know there's someone there that has passed and gone, and someone loved them. But what did they do but put a symbol of the cross there? Wonder what significance that was. People say, well, I drive down the highway and I see all these crosses. The symbol of the cross. Somebody died there. Somebody that somebody loved died there. But I'll tell you something else. The Lord died there. He died on the cross. There is a tremendous amount of significance to that. It brought about the plan of salvation. It brought about something that we have that we need to take advantage of. It brought about an opportunity to go to heaven when this life is over. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Except you believe that I am He, shall die in your sins. He said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Every one of those, staple the cross on top of it, because without it, they couldn't be. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come right now while together we stand and sing?